You know what I'm going to get my wife for Christmas?
What?
Me going away for a week at state championships.
It's the best Christmas present a man can give his wife.
Tap and Step, your premium Texas high school football podcast from your friends at Dave Campbell's Texas Football and TexasFootball.com. I am the Tep, Greg Tepper.
And I'm the Step, Matt Step.
And welcome to Thunderdome.
Dun, dun, dun.
This is one of the podcasts that you pay for. Yes. Like, this one is...
So you're putting the pressure on us. We got to give people their money's worth.
Get people deliver. Because at least part of it is, like, we're going to play this for free on Friday, but... What is it? Six games will be done? Seven games will be done?
Seven games Thursday, eight on Friday.
Yeah, so like, you're missing out if you're not becoming a Dave Campbell's Texas Football subscriber.
Yeah, you're missing out.
Plus you get all of our state championship preview stuff as well. This is your state semifinal preview edition of Tep and Step. The penultimate, kind of, well, there's four episodes of the state championship
preview. Yeah, there's four. Yeah.
But whatever. The penultimate Texas high school football podcast from your friends, Tep and Step. We do thank you for spending part of your day with us. Coming up here in a moment, just all 20 games.
We're just going to go, one through 20.
We're just going to go, we'll do a viewing guide. What it'll be, we'll go in chronological order.
Ooh,
of
fancy.
The games that you can watch and pay attention to, and give you a viewing guide for this upcoming weekend. The biggest, I think this is perhaps... Regional final week's really good, but you could make an argument this is like the most high profile week of games across the state.
It's a banging slate. I mean, it's the state semifinals.
State semifinals.
Apparently, V&A Moreno has some hot takes about the 7 o'clock kickoff
let's
Saturday
make sure,
night.
Let's make sure we don't forget V&A Moreno, our regular size V&A, who is our intrepid producer. Hi, V&A.
Hello.
Hey, let's see if this works out better this week. Ready?
Okay.
Hey, V&A, you look really nice today.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah.
See?
You look great as well.
We didn't need it in return. Yeah, we were saying that because it's true. Yeah. That's it. Anyway.
Well, just saying a nice thing today.
We're going to preview all 20 Texas High School Football State Championships, state semifinals, coming up here in a moment. But first, Matthew, we will start, as we always do, with your Texas High School Football Fun Fact of the Week, presented... by Community Coffee.
Oh, yeah.
There's
a lot of Community Coffee being drunk this weekend at stadiums because it was cold.
Buddy. Community Coffee supports and celebrates the thriving communities at the heart of Texas high school football. Mm-hmm. Community Coffee, strong as our roots. Discover more at Community Coffee.
One day.
.com. Mm-hmm. Matt Stepp, your Texas High School Football Fun Fact of the Week. There are 40 UIL Texas High School Football State Semifinals this week. That doesn't count the four state finalists and six men. Congratulations. In 1A, we'll kick things off with Jayton taking on Oakwood. Five-loss Oakwood. Oakwood, like, can win a title at 10-5. That'll kick off at 11 a.m. on next Wednesday, as well as then we will have the 1A Division I state championship game, matchup of unbeatens between Whiteface taking on Gordon. But that is not what we're here to talk about. Actually, you know what's interesting? Gordon is... never mind. That doesn't make any sense.
I know Gordon's really good.
Gordon's very good. They're
like big rivals of Strawn, right?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
And I know we're Strawn. Mary's Chicken Fried Steaks.
Matt Stepp, your Texas High School Fun Fact of the Week. Of the 40 UIL Texas High School Football State semifinalists right now, how many are seeking their first ever trip to the state championship game? Their first ever state finalist.
There's a lot. There's a good number this
out
year.
Out of 40.
Yeah, I remember looking at this. I'm going to say, let's go with a Baker's Dozen 13.
It's less than that. It's eight.
Okay.
There's eight. Hamilton has never been to a title game. Joaquin, Woodville, Paradise, Columbus.
Columbus has never played in a state championship game?
Let me double check this.
Wow.
Columbus has never played in a state championship
game.
Wow. Canyon West Plains, Lavernia, and Richmond
Randall. WTF is leaving.
Bye, WTF!
I'm here.
You're Tep and Step.
Tep and Step.
We claim you.
Ride or die.
Today I'm Tep and Step.
Anyway, eight. That's your Texas high school ball fun fact of the week. Eight teams.
My math is correct. That is 20%.
20%, which is cool. We got some new blood, for sure.
I think we're going to get some new teams at state, which is awesome.
So there it is, your Texas high school ball fun fact of the week. Okay, so normally this would be the time where we kind of recap, but essentially because we're previewing all 20 games, we're just going to kind of talk about, as it naturally comes up, what happened last week, which was a wild...
And also, to prevent the podcast from being 3 hours.
Yes, also that. So what we're going to do here on the podcast, we're going to go chronological order as the games occur this weekend.
Okay.
So we will start things off 7 o'clock Thursday night. There are seven games on Thursday.
And they all start at seven?
All kicking at seven.
So how do you figure out which one's first?
Go smallest to largest.
Oh, okay. Okay.
If they're tied, tie goes to the smallest team.
Next year, let's do west to east.
That would be just tough for me to figure out. But we are going to start west. 7 o'clock. Thursday night at Fair Park Stadium in Childress.
Ah.
A 2A Division II state semifinal between the Groover Greyhounds, the champions of Region 1, and the Munster Hornets, the champions of Region 2. And Groover, the lone undefeated team in 2A Division 2. And it's been that way for a minute. I want to say entering the playoffs? They're the only undefeated 2A Division 2.
There weren't many. 2A Division 2 took some L's.
Let me see how many one-loss teams there are.
2A Division 2 took some L's in non-district because they have to play up for baseball.
Yeah.
There weren't a lot of undefeated teams.
They were the only one entering the playoffs.
Wow. So out of the 64 teams, they were the only one.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
They're still here.
And here they are. And they're playing. And look, I think everything about Groover, we haven't talked about him. I think because Region 1 is maybe not the strongest region out there.
It's very top heavy. You got Groover, you had Wink, you had Stratford, and Ropes.
And Ropes, yeah. But I think everything about Groover is just like real impressive. Like, the offense is excellent. Walker Maupin, we've talked about him.
Yeah.
He's a very famous brother.
Yes. Second best athlete in his family behind his sister.
Briggs Satterfield, their quarterback, has been rock solid.
Yeah.
They have a playmaking defense. I looked this up. They've forced 32 turnovers in 14 games.
Speaking of Sibbin, I think Jalen Conyers' little brother plays for Groover as well.
I think it's Jackson Conyers.
Yeah.
I will tell you, though, that if you are concerned about Groover, the reason would be, who have you played? And I think part of that is if you take a look at their opponent's record, they're 72-74 on the year.
Ooh,
okay, their opponents are a combined 72-74. Mm-hmm. Munster's combined opponents have won a combined 110 games.
Yes, and Munster played up a lot.
They did.
They were playing a lot of 3A.
Holiday,
Pottsboro. Mm-hmm. They played up, and then
they played Pottsboro within a score.
And then in the playoffs, the last 2 weeks, they've beaten Albany and Collinsville.
Mm-hmm.
And not only beaten those two teams, but throttled them.
Yes.
They beat Albany, I think, 56-14. Last week, 54-14. It was 40-7 at the half. It was over at halftime. I mean, Pickle and Mallory were there, and I got a text from Pickle and said, this game's over. It's 40-7. It's over.
And I think it's really important to remember that, like, Albany was the two-time defending state champs. And admittedly, we kind of said from the jump, we didn't think Albany was as good as they had been in the past couple of years. You lose Adam Hill, and he's just and also a number of other really important teams, players from that team.
Sure.
But Collinsville, they were still really good, and Collinsville was still really good. And I think there's a fair argument to be made that they took the second and third best teams in Region 2, and they beat them by a combined 110-28 in consecutive weeks.
Collinsville's only lost two games all year, both to Munster.
Both to Munster, both by double digits.
Yeah.
And Kaysen Carney, he's the real deal.
Yeah.
Like,
he's been great.
He is.
He got thrown into the fire as a freshman, and Munster struggled, and we saw the chatter, you know. People were like, you know, this coach's kid's playing quarterback, blah, blah, blah. He's proved all the doubters wrong.
Absolutely.
He's come in and been great in the playoffs all throughout the season. He has led this team, and he's talented. He's a coach's kid. He knows the offense, and he's making plays.
And I think the defense is not just nasty. They are nasty, but they are peaking. They are playing.
This is
Collinsville was hanging 50 burgers on everybody, and Munster just like for a second time.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I'll just say this. This is my take on it. I think Munster has seen a team like Groover, and I am not sure Groover's seen a team like Munster.
Yeah, I've tried to tell people that I think Munster is before the playoffs, I thought they were the clear favorite to get to the state championship game. They've done nothing to make me move off of that.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to say it's going to be lopsided, but if you're going on the lopsided kind of scale of things, I think this is going to be a lopsided. I think Munster is just clearly the superior
computers
team.
Got this as a 14-point game.
That's a big margin.
That's a big margin semifinal. State semifinal, yeah. For sure. I like Munster. I think that they've been my pick for a while, and I ain't hopping off quite yet. Okay. So then we'll have one 2A Division II. Mm-hmm. Simultaneously, very close to Childress. 7 o'clock Thursday night at Cyfair FCU Stadium.
Right down the street. Are they in the same district? And Childress and Cyfair in the same district? What a
Do you think anybody in Childress has ever thought about, man, we should go to the Barry Center?
Yeah.
It is a 2A Division II
sicko there like me, maybe.
State semifinal pitting the champions of Region 3, the Bremont Tigers,
mm-hmm.
against the champions of Region 4, the Shiner Comanches. A moment on Bremont who... Remember, this was a rematch of a game, a team they played in non-district.
Mm-hmm.
They played Grapeland in non-district and kind of got, they got beat by like 12,
yeah,
I want to say.
Yeah, I was flying the Grapeland flag. Mm-hmm. By the way, here's a brag. I drove through Grapeland on Saturday.
That is a brag. Took you like 20 seconds?
It wasn't much.
Yeah, it wasn't much there. It's a tiny town.
Yeah.
But I will tell you this, they avenged it in a big way.
Yes.
They turned it into like a 31-point win. Mm-hmm. They did the Ganado. Remember when Ganado mm-hmm. played Refurio and they lost by like 20, and then they came back and they beat him by 30?
Yep.
Something like that.
We're gonna Josh Irvin, we're calling it the Ganado from now on.
But the Ganado. There are a couple other teams that pulled Ganados. I'll tell you about this, though. For Bremont, this does kind of track on a classic team that's super young, and you catch them early, mm-hmm. and now you're catching them late, and they're catching you.
Yeah. Freshman quarterback, Sam Kosowski.
They got a freshman linebacker leading them in tackles, Kaysen Scott.
Yeah. And they've also got a guy named Tank Scott, their running back. Tank Scott.
Dude Rock.
Who's 5'6", 170, and his nickname is Tank.
Come to the banquet.
Love it. And their offensive line at Bremont for a 2A school, massive. They got a guy 6'8" on their offensive line.
What the hell?
Yeah, 2A school. They are massive on the offensive line.
2A D2.
Yeah. And so you got a 5'6" running back running behind an offensive line with a 6'8" guy.
Okay, that works.
Yeah, it seems to work. Tank Scott had a big game last week. Kosowski, the quarterback, as a freshman, is doing big things. This is a good Bremont team that's peaking at the right time.
They are. And they are once Mart lost, it felt like probably, I mean, obviously Overton needed to be dealt with,
yeah,
you know, and they need to be considered because they got
them in a close game. But Bremont,
but then yeah, I think Bremont
23-0 in the second half. They outscored Grapeland 23-0 second.
I think Bremont is it entered as the team to beat in Region 3.
Mm-hmm.
Shiner, I think once they beat Fall City in district play, established themselves as the team to beat in Region 4. We even talked about it on the show.
Sure,
we said this is a setup for who is the team to beat in Region 4. Sure enough, it was Shiner and Buddy. What they did to Junction last week. That is a really good and pretty explosive Junction yeah. team.
And Shiner put them in the sharpshooter.
They locked them in the figure four. Yeah.
Whatever wrestling reference you want.
Yeah.
What did you call it?
I think I said I put them in the Dean Malenko Texas Cloverleaf.
I don't even know what that is.
Dean Malenko is an awesome wrestler. He's my favorite. Okay. Anyway, all that's to say.
Yeah. Junction had 105 yards of offense for the game.
Shiner, I think Shiner is one of the most ferocious defenses pound for pound in the state of Texas. Mm-hmm. And it's been that way all year. You go back to even in their losses. We were talking, man, I hate to keep repeating ourselves on the show, but like...
It's like we know what we're talking about.
Shut up. In their losses, they were like, they played Edna, right?
Mm-hmm.
A 3A Division I team that's still playing.
Yeah, yeah.
And they... What, they beat them, or they lost like 21-14 or something?
It was close.
It was like a super close, low-scoring game.
Edna or Goliad? I don't know.
Let me see. This is noble. Shiner played... oh, I'm sorry. I was thinking of Poth. I get all those like hard-nosed like yeah. South Texas teams. Mm-hmm. They lost to Poth 21-14.
Yeah.
Okay?
Poth, who finished 12-1 in three.
Correct.
In two divisions higher in 3A Division 2.
And so, their defense is spectacular. Jake Semper leads that defense.
Mm-hmm.
And they play complementary football. Like, this is classic Shiner football mm-hmm. of, like, we're going to run the ball with Carson Schutte and Quincy Jones, and we're going to lean on our defense. And, we're going to put you in the sharpshooter.
Mm-hmm.
I am not... what I need to see is, can Bremont break through?
Yeah.
I don't think that this is a Shiner team that's going to put up 40,
No, they're not. They're young and they're still figuring it out.
They're still figuring it out. But I think that Bremond's got to get to 30 points. And I'm just not sure they're going to get there against Shiner.
Yeah.
That defense has been so good. Now, Bremond could do it. This is not a miss. I don't want to say Munster and Groover's a mismatch, but I think Munster's a clear favorite.
Yes.
This one is a super compelling matchup. It would not stun me if Bremond won, but I think Shiner's your favorite.
And it wouldn't stun me if we saw this matchup again in 2025.
Yeah.
These two young
real teams. Young.
By the way, V&A, I need you to look something up while we're doing this. Shiner has some of the best helmets in the state of Texas. I want you to look up the Shiner football helmet. Find a picture of it and tell me what you think when you get a chance.
Shiner football helmet?
Yep.
You'll see.
Yep. It's purple. And it's awesome.
Very good. So
if they make it to state, it'll be a great helmet to see.
At that point, we will have a 2A. Yeah, it's very good. They have very good uniforms. Helmet, yeah. At that point, we will have set the 2A Division II state championship. We matriculate Matthew. 7 o'clock Thursday night at beautiful Ram Stadium in beautiful Mineral Wells.
Oh, Palo Pinto County, home of the best Dairy Queen in Texas.
The rogue Dairy Queen.
Yes, the Renegade DQ.
It's a 2A Division I state semifinal.
We'll talk about that at the end of the show.
2A Division I state semifinal between the champions of Region 1, the Stamford Bulldogs, and Matt Stepp, the champions of Region 2.
Mm-hmm.
The Hamilton Bulldogs.
Just riding that Tep and Step magic, baby.
Let's go!
Tep and Step come to your town. You're going 14-0, baby.
You know what? I'm going to say it. The official team of Tep and Step. Hamilton Bulldogs.
We've eaten at Storms.
We've eaten Storms.
Tepper's read your small town newspaper.
Absolutely. The official team.
We drove around town. We stopped at a weirdo gas station.
Do you know what we should do next
midnight?
Year? I'm dead serious. We should buy, like, I'm sure we need to buy a banner that they can hang, like, on just promoting this podcast.
Thank
at Cook and Field.
But no, you're welcome. You're welcome, Hamilton. You're welcome. Hamilton, Texas, you're welcome.
God.
And it's got that logo.
It's got that logo on it. Oh, my God.
There's going to be people you're driving through down. We need to put it in the downtown square, not at the stadium. Oh, you know the town square we drove through?
Jesus.
Hamilton.
The question marks that are going to be coming up from people driving through there.
All right. I want to start with a positioning statement, okay? I want to start with a positioning statement.
This podcast is so
dumb.
This
is a matchup of unbeatens, okay? Stamford and Hamilton is a matchup of unbeatens. One of only two we've got in the semifinals.
Yeah, yeah.
I think we have a clear favorite in this one.
I agree.
But I also think we've got a team that should believe they're a team of destiny. Because Hamilton, dude, everything's coming up Millhouse for Hamilton.
Yeah, it's just, they're just finding ways to win. Yeah. They beat Currents 14-7 last week, and you're like, okay, there's no way they can do it again. And then against Axtell, they're down 14-0 in the third quarter. They haven't done a damn thing on offense. They have been bad. Bye, Brooke. And they score a touchdown in the third quarter, make it 14-7, and then they can't do anything. And then with a minute left in the game, Hamilton hauls off and scores a touchdown. And instead of kicking the PAT, hey, 2A kickers, Coach Marwitz says, "Nah, we're gonna
let me tell you,
we're gonna whip it out the 12 pounder, and we're gonna say we're going for two."
Let me tell you,
what cojones?
Let me tell you,
and they got it.
They got it, and Ryan Marwitz. Why not? Like, he subscribes to the F it, let's just go.
Let's just let it rip.
Let it rip.
And they let it rip, and they are in the state semifinals.
Ryan Marwitz is our let it rip coach of the week.
Yes, congrats, Coach Marwitz. Can you bring us Storms?
They will need to let it. And this, I want to be clear, this is a good ball club. They are not 14-0
by a fluke.
They're not 14-0 by accident. Jackson Edwards, Isaac Wood, but more importantly, that defense. That defense has held them in the offense has just like poked and prodded and kind of cracked the safe.
Their last three playoff games, they have allowed a total of 35 points.
Which amazing.
Is pretty dang good for this deep in the playoffs.
Here comes to me a different animal. Okay. Yeah. Stamford, I want you to remember we were sitting here a week ago talking about marveling at Post's win over Sunray and how well they played and how they went up against a really good undefeated Sunray team and handled them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what do you do with a team that just went and handled them?
Yeah.
Because that's what Stamford
because
did.
Because you look at that final score, 48-26. Mm-hmm. No. That thing was 35-0 late third quarter.
Mm-hmm.
It was Jover.
Mm-hmm.
Post got a lot of that in garbage time when Stamford had emptied. They had the JV out there.
Mm-hmm.
You know how I know Stamford had the JV out there in the fourth quarter? Because they had white helmets with no logo on them.
Yep.
And different looking jerseys. JV.
This is apropos of nothing. I took my my brother-in-law, my father-in-law, plus Hank and my wife to the Star.
Did Hank have a good time?
Oh, he had a great time.
Okay. Do you want to go to Highland Park now?
He was rooting for Lone Star. I want to admit that. I want to say that on it.
Okay.
We were saying on the Lone Star side.
Okay, so he was fitting in. He was blending in. He wanted to blend in.
Exactly.
I got it. Smart man, Hank.
But my father-in-law asked me, he's like, why does Highland Park have so many players? And I said, because they've suited out their JV and their freshmen.
Yeah.
Which they always do. That's a Randy Allen thing.
Yeah. Highland Park will roll out 180 kids.
Yeah. It's just like, why? He's just super deep. Yeah. And that's just I think that's a Randy Allen thing. He likes to reward those guys to come to suit out for playoff games. Anyway, all that is to say, Stanford is rolling right now. Christian Duran, Caston Vega,
Clay Whitfield. Stanford is so fast.
Yes.
They are so athletic. They just have so much team speed, and they're a real matchup problem for most teams in 2A Division I.
And I will just I think it's as simple as this. As good as Hamilton is, as great story as they are, we have said from the word go, from February,
we were early adopters of Stanford.
And we're early adopters of Region 1 over Region 2. Mm. That, plain and simple, Region 1 stronger than Region 2.
Agree.
I think that's just the name of the game here, is that like you have a deserving Region 2 champion, but I think that Region 1 is just stronger, and Stanford is the undefeated, clear best team in Region 1. And
Stanford's won their four playoff games by an average of 35 points.
Yeah. The computer, if you're interested, has this as a 22-point ball game.
That's massive.
That's quite big. So anyway, I like Stanford in that one. But the official team, you cannot count out the official team of Tepp
and
Stepp.
When me and you went to Hamilton for Frost and Winters, and it was 165 degrees outside, we said, this team, you read that story, that scrimmage article in the Hamilton newspaper while munching on a cheeseburger at Storms, and you said, this team is making a deep run. And look at him now.
To 7 o'clock Thursday night at Wood Forest Bank Stadium in Shenandoah. It is a 2A Division I state semifinal between the champions of Region 4, the Ganado Indians.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking of party crashers, the Joaquin Rams.
What?
Fourth place Joaquin.
Yes. Fourth place. I know they're in a tough district, and they tied for third.
But they lost to...
They were the fourth place.
They were fourth place team. They were seeded fourth.
They lost head-to-head to the two teams ahead of them.
They played a district champion in Centerville in the first round. That is how I know they were a fourth place team.
Yes.
And now it doesn't matter because they're 48 minutes away from playing for a title.
They're fourth place team in their district. They're regional champs.
This is preseason number one against a team that finished fourth in district.
Yes.
It's the way to categorize this.
Yes.
It is... And by the way, I looked this up. Do you know the DCTF computer projected them to lose each of the last six games?
Yeah. I mean, we had them picked last in district, and we got reminded about it on social media.
Yeah.
Magazine screenshots. Like, disrespect season is real.
It is real.
Joaquin, they disrespected you.
They were... We disrespected Joaquin.
Yes.
I was not familiar with your game.
Yes, yes.
Okay? Because I'll tell you, dude, Elijah Hardison...
He had a huge game.
They're running back. Thursday. He's over 2,000 yards now.
Yeah. Slot T?
It is the devil.
Thank you.
Correct.
They're rolling.
Honey Grove would agree.
And because they beat Honey Grove at the Star. And I think this is important. Their defense played, I think, their best game of the year last week.
Yes. They held Rylan Morris had a couple of big runs, and that was about it.
Mm-hmm.
They really shut Honey Grove down.
Yeah.
And the offense just rotated running backs. They put the TJ Hawkins in the second half, and he's number 42, and he's just like a bowling ball.
Mm-hmm.
And Honeygrove just didn't want to tackle him in the second half. Mm-hmm. It was impressive. It was a really Joaquin doesn't get talked about because that part of East Texas just gets dominated by Garrison. And Joaquin is literally as far east as you can go in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
It is literally on the river, and like it's 5 minutes from Logansport, Louisiana.
Mm-hmm.
Like it is deep,
way east.
Deep East Texas.
Way east.
They get Shreveport TV stations. Like
first year head coach too, right?
Yes, because Wade Lawson went to Wasson.
That's right, and they promoted offensive coordinator Jared Jones.
Yes, and they've done a great job.
Unbelievable,
they've been great.
They will need to be. We talked about how I think they played their best game of the year against Honeygrove.
Mm-hmm.
They have to do even better this week.
Yes,
against
this is an experienced Ganado team who's been there. They've been in this stadium. This is where they played Timpson at last year. They beat Refugio. They've been in these big games. And they match up with Joaquin.
Yeah.
Because they're big. You know, Joaquin kind of physically dominated
Honeygrove.
They can
play some volleyball on you.
Well, Ganado's let's go.
They want the smoke.
Yes. And Bryce Allman at quarterback, Logan Burris. They've got a lot of playmakers, and they have a lot of playoff experience, and this is a senior-heavy ball club in Ganado. This is, I feel like this is their time.
And the other thing about them, it is important to note that this was a Marlin team they played last week that was rolling offensive.
Yeah.
Okay? A Marlin team that just got done hanging 40 on Mason.
A really good Mason team.
Right? They had been absolutely rolling. They were averaging 32 points a game, and that's after this game. Mm-hmm. And they smushed them.
Yeah.
41-14. The Cinderella story is remarkable.
I was trying to remember. Have we ever had a fourth place team play for a state championship?
I can't remember. I would love to have to look it up.
That would be fun. I know we've had fourth place teams make the semis.
The computer's got this as a 22-point ball game.
Little rich for my blood.
A little rich for me.
I do think Joaquin will hang around. Just the nature of their style of play will keep them in the game. Mm-hmm. Unless they turn it over. Yeah. You know,
right. Of course.
But, yeah, I do like Ganado by double digits. 22 is probably a couple of 22-point spreads in 2A.
Yeah. I like Ganado as well. I've been on their bandwagon since the jump. I help it off.
Ganado makes it to state, they're going to be a big
crowd. Both 2A Division 1 semifinals are, like, clear favorites versus Cinderellas. Mm-hmm. And those Cinderellas, like, the only thing more dangerous than a good team is a hot team.
Yeah.
And they're hot. We stay in 7 o'clock, but now we go to 3A. 7 o'clock Thursday night in New Caney at Randall Reed Stadium.
Ah, great stadium. Great press box spread, too.
It is a 3A Division II state semifinal as the Tidehaven Tigers take on the Woodville Eagles.
What? Woodville? Your stat about Woodville, where they had never made the third round of the playoffs before.
They had never made the third round of the playoffs. They had never made the fourth round of the playoffs. They are now in the fifth round of the playoffs.
They just don't know any better at this point.
No, they are too young, and they just don't understand they're not supposed to be this good. And what that coaching staff has done is...
Yeah, Ty Robinson's done a great job.
Spectacular. And, like, here's the way I framed it. There is a real argument to be made that neither of these teams were expected to be here. Right?
100%. Tidehaven, even though they played for a state championship last year, Joseph Dodds graduated.
Just a Baylor. A 3A Division II team loses a Power 4 running back.
And they tough region. You know, no one thought they could get past East Bernard, Lexington, Poth. Really tough region. And David Lucio was like, we're not supposed to be here. We just keep doing this. Mm-hmm. I think he used a different word, but we just keep doing it.
It's almost as if he and his coaching staff know what they're doing.
It's amazing.
Because last week against Lexington, I thought that was masterful. Because that's a Lexington team that was lighting fools up.
Lexington just got done beating the living hell out of Poth.
Yes.
And Tidehaven just drug them into the mud. And
this is what they do, and it's what they do this time of year. Mm-hmm. You remember that semifinal last year against Dangerfield. Mm-hmm. Which was 14-7?
They just kind of dragged Dangerfield into a mud fight and just said, come on, let's take them
into the deep waters, man. Mm-hmm. And that's what they do. They have reloaded... Jake and Duran, their running back, and then their quarterback, Cale Russell. But more importantly, again, the defense is just peaking. They're playing their best football right now.
Yeah. TJ Galvin, I want to call him out last week. He caught a touchdown pass. Mm-hmm. He had an interception, and he also blocked a Lexington field goal.
Unbelievable.
Great game for all three phases for TJ Galvin. Had a huge game. And then Tidehaven's defense, the goal line, they were up 7 in the fourth quarter. They got a huge goal line stand with less than 2 minutes to go. Kind of sealed the game, and they went down and scored. To put the capper on it. But this is a really they've beaten now Lexington and East Bernard in the past 6 weeks. Yeah. Like Tidehaven's for real.
They're for real. So is Woodville. Okay, remember they've never been in the third round. Mm-hmm. Now they're in the fifth round, and the offense has hit another gear of late. Tavion Hunter
hit 5 first half touchdowns last week. I love the sophomore quarterback Luke Babin.
He's
a dude.
They are, and the thing is, I pulled up just some highlights, and this is a team that's like, I don't know how to describe it. They're having fun.
Yeah.
Like, they're loose. They're just, like, playing ball. Mm-hmm.
And they have personally victimized Northeast Texas the last 2 weeks. First decab, and then last week, I thought Dangerfield had just got done blasting Newton into the sun.
Uh-huh.
And Woodville beat some, I remember seeing the tweet from their Twitter, which I believe is run by a former KBMT reporter, Sapphire Cervantes. She was at Woodville. She's their social media person. It was 19-0 at the end of the first quarter. And I was like, I DM'd her. I was like, hey, is that score for real? And she was like, yeah.
Yeah.
We're playing really well.
Yeah. And they kept playing really well. And they blew out Dangerfield.
Yeah. Blew them out. It was impressive.
This is, I'll go on wax here. I think this is one of the toughest games to call this week. I think this is the toughest Thursday night game to call. I'll say that.
And this is probably where my viewing interest. I'm not going to be at this game, so there's a teaser there. But the Matt Stepp tablet will probably be on Woodville Tidehaven.
In a close game like this, I'm going to go with big game experience. Tidehaven's been here.
Okay.
Played in a state championship game. Played in a semifinal. Moment won't be too big for them. I like Tidehaven, but this is coin flippy type stuff.
It's fair.
It would not surprise me at all if we're talking about Woodville. And honestly, if you're talking about, well, we'll get to that.
I'm going with the hot hand.
Okay.
Give me Woodville. We disagree on one here.
I love it.
Give me the Eagles.
I agree. Computer's got a 4-point Woodville game.
Yeah.
Don't disagree with that. Absolutely. Fantastic ball game. All right. We move. 7 o'clock, Thursday night, at the Star in Frisco. It is a 3A Division I state semifinal between the champions of Region 1, the Panthers of Paradise.
Oh, yeah.
And the champions of Region 2, owners of the state's longest winning streak, the defending state champs, the Malakoff Tigers, now winners of 30 in a row. And win number 30 for them was special.
You were there. I was there, and it was as thorough and dominating as you'll see. Liberty ILO had been just, they put up 56 points on Winsboro in the first half. Liberty ILO muffs the opening kickoff, and Malakoff gets on it and scores, and immediately it's 7-0. But the key sequence in this game was when Malakoff was up 14-0, and they were punting from their own 4-yard line. Liberty ILO got a stop. They were, it was like their own 9, I think.
Okay.
It was 4th and 3, 4th and 4. And Malakoff, early second quarter, it's 14-0, and Malakoff's punting. Liberty ILO lines up offsides. They were going to have the ball at the 35-yard line.
Yeah.
They line up offsides, give Malakoff the ball. Malakoff proceeds to go on a 16-play, 90-yard drive. Took up 8 minutes of the second quarter, and Mike Jones, capped the drive off with a 4-yard touchdown run, and it was 21-0. And I told the guy from the Texarkana newspaper, I said, this is over.
Yeah.
This game is over. Malakoff just went on an 8-minute drive, and they're getting the ball to start the third quarter. It was done. It was a virtuoso performance, and on their offensive line and their defensive lines completely dominated that game.
Mike Jones has gone from, like, caretaker and game manager to that dude.
He's got that dog in him.
He's one of the original He's Got That Dog in Him.
He's unbelievable.
He's so good.
He took Daquan Privo and was playing him one-on-one on defense several times. He's really good.
And then
elite athlete. People don't realize how good of an athlete Mike Jones is.
And then you add in Jason Tennyson, who missed all of last year with an injury, and he is playing inspired right now.
Yeah.
And, again, the defense just shut out one of the most explosive teams in Texas.
Linebacker Parker Poteet is a dude.
Yes.
He's a guy.
They will draw Paradise. And this is the thing I like about Paradise and digging in on them. They are a team that can beat you in a variety of different ways. Okay? Their defense, I think, is the headliner here.
Yes.
Morrison leads that defense.
This is going to be two really good defenses going at it. Yeah.
But they can, if they need to throw the ball, they can throw the ball. If they need to run the ball, they can run the ball. And here's the thing. It's with the same guy. Aiden Winters, who is the converted wide receiver they got playing quarterback.
They just built the whole plane out of him.
And that's a good play because he's really good.
Yeah.
He's really, really good. So you got two great quarterbacks in this one. He's a game breaker. It's hard to pick against the champs. It's hard against a 30-game win streak.
Mm-hmm. It's the first time, I believe, Paradise's first trip ever to the state semifinals. Yes, first time ever. Mm-hmm. So we got all the experience in the world at Malakoff. They're also playing in the Star. That's a unique place to play. If you've never played in there before, I think it can get to you at some times. Mm-hmm. Malakoff's been there, done that. They played in the Star multiple times.
Multiple times they played. Remember, they beat Brock in the semifinal last year.
It's Paradise's first trip.
I like Malakoff in this one. The computer has Malakoff, I think, by
Say my 10.
18.
Whew. Yeah. I like Malakoff as well.
I like Malakoff. Yeah. Maybe not by that.
Yeah.
Okay. We will round out Thursday, Matthew. 7 o'clock Thursday night at Rice Stadium in Houston.
First playoff game at Rice.
Hoot, year. Hoot. It's a three-division one state semifinal matchup between the champions of Region 3, the Columbus Cardinals, and the champions of Region 4, the Edna Cowboys.
Yes.
And
the Lano Killers.
And
sorry, Pickle.
And we have...
I wasn't at the game. Sorry, Pickle.
We have in our, right here, a classic Region 3 v. Region 4 game. This is classic Region 3 v. Region 4. The styles here, because if you don't know, 3A Division 1 Region 3 tends to be speed, explosiveness, athletes.
Sure.
Region 4 tends to be physical...
Let me take a tire iron to you and beat the hell out of you.
Thumping, like, physical football. Mm-hmm. And you've got these two teams colliding here for a spot at AT&T Stadium. And let's start with Edna. This is their third straight state semifinal.
This is?
And, like...
They're probably glad not to see Franklin.
They're probably glad not to see Franklin, but Jimmy Mitchell is... Ball coaching Jack.
He's done a great job.
He's done
at
an unbelievable
job. He was
job.
Great at Manor before, you know, he took Manor once into a regional final once against Shadow Creek.
Sounds right.
Me and Ish were there. Yeah, I mean, he's done a great job. And he was Brent Davis's defensive coordinator at Senton back in the day when they played first. He's been around great programs. The guy's a winner. He's won at Beeville. He's won everywhere he's been.
And it's a familiar formula, okay? A massive offensive line, a bruising defense. And then you just snap the ball to a special player. Because Braylon Harris?
Yes.
Special player. Capital S special.
He's their guy.
He's their guy.
He's their dude.
And they've been spectacular. You added Chase Schubert on the outside. I think he's a playmaker for them as well. This is a good, solid, thumping Edna team.
14-0.
14-0.
Very efficient.
Columbus, in a game we were really looking forward to, dethroned Franklin. It was a weird game where Columbus raced out.
Columbus raced out 35-7.
And it looked like one-way traffic.
Yeah. Franklin scores right before the half to make it 35-14. They get the ball to start the third quarter. They get the 2-for-1. They make it 35-21. And then they recover the onside kick.
Yeah.
And they score again. Like it's 35-28.
And
we're
you're thinking like little lemon booty.
Little bit of lemon booty. Little pucker factor here. A little puckering up there.
And then
the next thing you know, it was, I think, 49-28 very quickly.
Yes.
Columbus restored order. Adam Schoble's just been ridiculous.
Adam Schoble's been unbelievable. Grayson Rigdon was healthy last week, and he looked it.
He had 3 touchdowns, over 200 yards rushing.
Running the ball really well. Braylon Fisher doesn't get the love he deserves.
He's a young sophomore receiver who's probably going to be a Division I guy, and he's benefiting greatly from having Adam Schoble.
I will say this about Columbus. For this week, and then if they win this week, for next week in AT&T, their defense can be had.
For sure, for sure. Now Franklin is a slot
unique challenge.
They're a unique challenge, and so that's But
there have been times this year where
Columbus
they've been
has been touched up. Yes. Now I think some context has to be used because some of those games are probably blowout type because Columbus has raced out to big leads all of a sudden. That's gonna be one thing to watch. You know, kind of the Hitchcock game was kind of the one game where you really got to see King Columbus make stops in key situations.
Yes.
So, Edna, I think Edna's gotten blown out 2 straight years by Franklin. I don't think they get blown out of the water this way. I think it's a competitive game, but I just don't see any. I don't see how they slow down Schoble in
that
Columbus
thing.
Offense.
Is that like I think the weaponry for Columbus is too much.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas and it just wears you down eventually. The computer actually has Edna by 2.
Interesting. I disagree.
The computer really likes Edna. I'm rolling with Columbus. I've been rolling with Columbus for a while now. I think they're your favorite in this one, but it's
agreed.
A fantastic game there in Houston on Rice Stadium. And that closes up Thursday.
Yeah.
It's the last Thursday night where there will be multiple games happening simultaneously. We then move.
We're getting our football beds.
Put our
football onesie on.
Put our little trap door.
With the trap door in the back, yeah.
Just in case. Stuff like that.
Just in case accidents, you know.
You never know. 4 o'clock. We moved to Friday. 4 o'clock.
That's right.
They're closing school in Gunner. I imagine they're closing school in Wall too.
Hell yeah. Brother,
4 o'clock. Friday afternoon. It's a matinee.
Who needs social studies class? Let's go to football
at
Texas.
At Wildcat Stadium in Abilene.
V&A, I just want to know real quick. What would you have done if you were in Lake Dallas High School and y'all were in the semifinals and they said, hey, no school. We're all going to the football game. Wouldn't you be like, this rocks?
Hold on.
I would be so pumped.
Yeah.
I'd be like, yes.
Let's go.
Everyone would be.
It is a 3A Division II state semifinal between the champions of Region 2, the Gunner Tigers, and the champions of Region 1, not Canadian.
So we have one team that is that we know is all Gunner, nine straight semifinal appearances. We have Canadian, who had been to 7 out of 8, and they're out. And let me tell you, they didn't just get eliminated. They got eliminated in emphatic fashion.
They got eliminated with purpose, with intent.
Yeah. Whew. That was
40. They did not just dethrone Canadian. I think they sent a message that, like, it's about to be different around here.
It was a full-blown revolution. It wasn't just a regular dethroning. It was a coup.
49-3.
Yeah.
And Landon York, Reed Robertson, and the defense, Ethan Michalowicz, I mean, thorough. And the thing about Wall, I'll keep coming back to this, the thing about Wall, they are so fast.
Mm-hmm.
They are fast. And
it's so weird to see Wall throwing for 348 yards. That's not the double take. Well, 348 yards passing.
You like Canadian has had speed, but they've never been like a team that you go, oh, that's the team that's defined by speed.
Sure.
I think you can look at Wall and say, that's the team, that's the fast team.
That's why this is a fascinating match, because Gunner's very fast. Why this is a super fascinating match.
I think when Gunner's had advantages over Canadians, because they're faster than Canadian. Mm-hmm. I think the speed, I'll say this, is a push. Like, these are two teams that are going to be going at it for the 3A track title in the spring. Mm-hmm. Like, there's a promise for you. Here's Gunner for the 9th year in a row.
Hello.
Yeah. And it's the same song, different verse, man. Like, they just keep reloading.
Doesn't matter who graduates. They plug and play. They just put in guys who are fast and will strike you. Defensively, they're not super big, but they just fly around.
They tackle well. They tackle so well.
And they get numbers to the ball.
Yes.
It's not like there's one guy in open. There's four guys there tackling you. They're so sound in what they do, and they believe in it, and they execute it so well.
Preston Tarpley is the new quarterback, kind of triggering the offense, and I think he's grown as the season has gone on, and he's now, I mean, a salty veteran. He's got, this is his 15th game starting.
He's also a kicker. The kicker.
He's
a very, very valuable weapon in 3A football.
The defense, Luke Ballard or Bullard.
That was a good holiday offense that they just dominated.
I mean, what else come to expect from them in Region 2? I am fascinated by this ball game because this can, like, part of the Canadian Gunner thing was interesting, but like both those teams had the book on each other, right? They each had the book on each other. It's like, we know your tendencies. The coaching staffs have not had a lot of turnover. And so like, obviously Canadian has a new head coach,
sure,
but like they're like the guts of it, they just promoted from within. Hasn't been a lot of turnover. Wall's a new challenger, a legit new team with a new scheme and new players. And I don't know if they know they're supposed to be scared of Gunner. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Fascinating ball game. It's hard to pick against Gunner. It's real hard to pick against Gunner. But I'm going to pick Gunner.
I'm not picking against Gunner, but I think it's going to be a very close
game. I think it's going to be a very close ball game.
Wall's performance against Canadian convinced me. I was like, okay, they're legit.
Mm-hmm. Well, but Wall is just such a different challenge, and that's what's fascinating about this. Because for Gunner, if Canadian had won last week, I would have said Gunner emphatically, because I think this is a Canadian team that not only are they not as good as they had been the past couple of years, but Gunner has the book on them. This is a new challenge that I think the speed can really give Gunner some trouble. There have been walkovers in the semifinals. I do not think this will be one. I think it'll be a really, really good ball game. I like Gunner, though. We move to the 7 o'clock hour, 7 o'clock Friday night at McKinney ISD Stadium. It is our first 4A matchup as two teams that nobody thought would be here. The Brock Eagles take on the scrappy, pull yourself up by your bootstraps.
The underdogs from Panola County.
Underdogs from Panola County, the Carthage Bulldogs. I'm joking, of course. A moment for Brock. Is that the most remarkable win of the year?
They went and pulled a Ganado.
They Ganadoed. Yes. They Ganadoed pretty hard. If you remember, in week 10, Graham beat Brock 38-0.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Smushed them into a fine paste.
Mm-hmm.
38-0. And 6 weeks later, Brock beats Graham 12-10 in triple overtime.
It was 10-10, and they were going to alternating two-point conversions. It's crazy.
What?
What a performance from Brock.
Brock scored 12 points against Graham in two meetings, and they're into the state semifinals.
Yeah, that defense came to play. They
absolutely did. They adjusted. Figured some things out.
Mm-hmm.
And the defense has been playing. They're relentless. Asa Parenteau leading that defense, been fantastic. And I crunched the numbers on this. If you take out quarterback Brody Woods is their guy at the quarterback mm-hmm. spot. If you take out that 38-0 loss to Graham in their other 13 games, they're giving up 8.6 points per game. That would be good enough for second in scoring defense in 4A Division 2, only behind Graham.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the issue. The actual number 2 scoring defense in 4A Division 2, team's going to be across the field in McKinney ISD Stadium on Friday,
mm-hmm.
is the Carthage Bulldogs.
Yeah.
Bro.
Carthage is a different animal than anything Brock's seen all year.
Carthage is a different animal than like anyone the Dallas Cowboys have seen this year.
Yeah. It's 53-7 last week.
They're shocking.
Yeah.
They're a shocking football team.
Yeah.
Jet
Surratt. It's like Carthage is like, this week we'll let the quarterback throw for 6 touchdowns in the first half. And then next week they're like, we'll just let KJ Edwards run wild.
KJ Edwards, Benny Smith.
They can do it all.
And all of that belies the most important thing and the defining characteristic of this Carthage team. Dude, that defense is...
They're really good.
...is a monster, okay? With the guy who leads there...
The Beck kid.
Clayton Ingram, and they got all sorts of... Yeah, Beck as well. They're big offensive... I mean, this is a...
It's a complete football team.
Complete football team.
Yeah.
Now, okay. A note. Scott Surratt very famously 9-0 in state championship games.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Semifinals have been less of a sure thing. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
In their last 6, Carthage is 5-1.
Mm-hmm.
But 4 of those were one score games.
Okay.
Okay? They're a little fun fact for you.
That's a little tidbit. I know the Glen Rose game was
The Glen
was
Rose
close.
Game was tight. The Lampasas game was tight.
Oh yeah, Ace Whitehead.
Ace Whitehead.
Mm-hmm.
They lost to Liberty Hill.
Mm-hmm.
They had another one.
Was it La Vega? La Vega
played
them
tight.
Yeah.
But I looked this up, and because I was like, okay, like they've obviously when they get the title games, they're basically unbeatable. They become like Guile in Street Fighter. They're just like unbeatable. But if you look back on it, they since 2016, China Spring they won by 6 in overtime.
Mm-hmm.
2017 they won by 7 over La Vega. 2018 lost to Liberty Hill. 2019, they beat Lampasas by 7. 2020, they drilled Wimberley. 2021, they lost in the third round. 2022, the Glen Rose game by 7.
Okay.
Semifinals have been a bit of a challenge point.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I just don't know how Brock scores. I'm just being honest. Like, we have seen them play an elite defense in Graham, and they've scored 12 points in 2 games. They've scored 10 points in regulation, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm really just not sure how Brock scores. That's my question here. Is can they move the ball against this ferocious Carthage defense? That's the question. It can happen. And Brock's defense, I think, can hold them in it. But it's going to have to be a rock fight win for them if they're going to do it.
Yeah, they can't get the shootout of Carthage.
No.
They're not going to win that.
No, but I like Carthage in this one. The computer, if you're interested.
Yeah, I like Carthage.
Has this as an 11-point ball.
Yeah, I like Carthage a little bit more than that.
We move to the other 4A Division II state semifinals, 7 o'clock Friday night at Georgetown ISD Stadium.
Mm.
The champions of Region 3, the Pirates of La Vega.
MODOK.
Taking on the champions of Region 4, again, the Wimberley Texans.
Yep.
And I fell for it. I fell for it.
Mm-hmm,
like when it looks like Wimberley is going to be, like, gettable in Region 4, just like next time I say it, I just want you to hit me and just be like, don't.
What are you doing, stupid?
What are you doing? ding dong. Cody Stover, he like this is a weird thing. He just did the thing.
Yeah, he just does the Cody Stover thing.
421 yards of total offense and 5 touchdowns against a really good Sitton defense. Now Sitton made that thing really weird and really interesting late, but that was a lot of onside kickery, a lot of like crazy guy in a fight to get back in that game.
Yeah, they kind of they recovered, I think, 2 onside kicks in that.
So, they did.
Yeah.
That was a pretty thorough performance from Wimberly. Pretty thorough overall. Well, here comes La Vega, a team that, you know, Region 3 we thought was really stacked, and there are a lot of really good teams. And La Vega has emerged out of there, and emerging with them is Bryson Rowland, who is ready for his close-up.
Yeah, he's been elite. He's been great since his freshman year at La Vega, but he's been on another level this year.
He plays much bigger than his size. And Caden Rowland, I haven't seen if they're related, but it's Rowland and Bellamy. My guess is they're related. He leads what's been a traditionally very strong defense. I love the coaching match in this one. I think this is there's an argument to be made. I think these are the two most underrated coaches in Texas high school.
Yeah, Don Hyde and Doug Warren is going to be fun, just from a strategy standpoint.
These are ball coaching dudes. Can La Vega contain Stover, and can Wimberly contain Rowland? This is another game that I put in that coin flip category. Mm-hmm. Fascinated by this ball game. I'm going with Wimberly.
Okay.
I like Wimberly in a tight one. I think they've got the dude, and I wonder if Cody Stover ain't going to let them lose.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's that senior it factor at the quarterback spot.
Fair.
That might be it. But this is a coin flip type ball game, and I think we're in for a whale of a ball game.
I'm gonna go La Vega. Okay. I'm gonna trust Don Hyde and that defense to find a way to slow Stover down.
We know that. We know that they will cook something up defensively. He's a defensive mastermind out there. It's gonna be a fantastic ball game there at Georgetown ISD Stadium. We move 7 o'clock Friday night. Let's go back out to Abilene. It's a little. You can do a little a day night doubleheader.
You could
if you want.
Maybe Abilene. I will.
We'll see. 7 o'clock Friday night at Shotwell Stadium in Abilene. It is a 4A Division I state semifinal between the champions of Region 2, the Salina Bobcats, and the champions of Region 1, the Ding Dong Canyon West Plains Wolves.
And we say Ding Dong with all due respect.
We do.
Because we did not expect you to be here.
Correct.
We were not familiar with your game either.
We were not. That is... West Plains over Stephenville is one of the all-time pedigree upsets.
Oh, 100%.
Okay.
Yeah.
You have Stephenville, one of the most decorated programs in Texas high school football history, and you have West Plains...
in their third year.
...who is playing like their 37th all-time game.
Mm-hmm.
And...
West Plains did the thing.
West Plains did the thing, and they did the thing because they just kept punching. They just kept throwing punches. Mm-hmm. And Reed Macon and Slade Russell. I'll tell you this thing about, I have no doubt about this. Canyon West Plains, they got guts.
Yeah.
That is a gutty football team. Mm-hmm. And they are gonna fight you to the gates of hell.
They are going to be crazy guy in a fight. Because they got nothing to lose here. No one expected them to be in this position. They're playing the number one team in the state. In Salina, a team that's blown by everyone.
Yes.
And West Plains is like, no one expected us to be here. Let's just go play football, and let's just throw the kitchen sink at Salina.
And it worked. So now here's the question. Can West Plains pull what would be undisputedly the all-time pedigree double dip? Okay?
Yeah.
If you beat Stephenville... and Salina in consecutive weeks as a third-year varsity program, that would be an all-time 2-week stretch.
In the regional final and state semifinals as well.
I mean, it really is. Like, because, again, a super pedigree program there in Salina. Now, Salina has looked almost invincible for a lot of this year. Almost invincible, right? For most of the season. Bo Bentley, what a player. Mm-hmm. What a player. Harrison Williams, Logan Gutierrez running the ball. That big offensive line, a rock solid defense. The last 2 weeks, Aubrey and Alvarado have thrown for 870 yards on Salina.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Reed Macon, paging Reed Macon, to the service desk. I think he's going to get his, because I think that if there is a weakness on this team, it might be through the air.
Sure. I think
in the secondary.
That's the way you attack Salina. Agree.
The path, like, I want to be clear. I think Salina's your favorite.
Mm-hmm.
The path is there, and the path is a shootout. Drag them into a haymaker competition.
Yeah, 49-42 kind of.
Get going, because just keep throwing big plays at them.
Yeah.
I don't think Salina lets it get there. Mm. I think Salina's defense makes plays. And
kind of like, I think it'll be similar to last week. Alvarado hung around. It was 21-21 at the half. And then the magic just ran out.
Yeah.
They just, Salina made some adjustments, and they just kind of sat on them a little bit. And I think I think West Plains is dynamic enough to keep it close for a half, but I think the second half, Salina just kind of wears on you.
That's kind of where I'm at on it as well. But it is a remarkable, remarkable game. Like, from a pedigree perspective, it's a crazy, crazy game. And West Plains is house money. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Everything you got. It'll be a fascinating ball game out there in Abilene. That's one 4A Division I state semifinal. We go to the other one. 7 o'clock Friday night at Randall Reed Stadium in New Caney. It is the 4A Division I state championship game, state semifinal, between the Kilgore Bulldogs and the champions of Region 4, the Bears of Lavernia, who avenge a district loss to Bay City. And it was kind of a convincing, if I remember 42, correctly.
24.
Like they won convincingly.
So they've beaten the last 3 weeks Austin LBJ.
Mm-hmm.
They avenged a regular season loss to Calhoun in a very close game.
Yep.
And then they avenged another regular season loss to Bay City and dominated Bay City. It's like they're getting better.
They are getting better. Yeah. And here's what's interesting to me about Lavernia. The running game is going to get a lot of the headlines, and understandably so. Sean Garza and Keegan Hayek have been terrific for them, that big offensive line. But I think it's the defense that's the difference, that's what's grown. The difference between the first game against Bay City and the second game against Bay City has been their defense. The reason they beat LBJ was that their defense played super well. Mm-hmm. The reason they avenged the loss to Calhoun is because their defense played super well. Third place, Lavernia, is in a state semifinal against Kilgore, a team that got their own kind of monkey off their back last week. Because as much as Chapel Hill and Kilgore have played, Chapel Hill's had Kilgore's number in the playoffs.
Yeah, 3 straight years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And they finally pushed through. And
pretty convincingly as well.
And I'll just tell you, man, I went back and I watched a decent amount of this game. And you've been telling me for a couple of months now, you've been saying, dude, this Kilgore front seven is freaky.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to subscribe to your newsletter.
Thank you. They are large children who are very fast and play with a disposition that is not kind.
No. Wiley Mitchell, Jackson Tucker Phillips, they're deep.
Yeah.
They roll deep. They play angry football. And that
Raging Red fits.
Here's the thing. That's the money matchup here. Can Lavernia run the ball? Plain and simple. Against this Kilgore team. That's it. That's the whole ball game. If the answer is no, it is hard to find a way for Lavernia to win that game, right? I don't think Lavernia don't want to throw the ball 40 times. They can throw the ball a little bit. They don't want to throw the ball 40 times. They have to run the ball. And Kilgore's defensive front has been excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent.
That matchup, Lavernia O-line, Kilgore D-line,
that's your money matchup, and that's the ball game. Mm-hmm. The other question for Lavernia is, can they contain Jaden Sanders?
Yeah, Kilgore's going to be a lot faster. They're going to be the fastest team. Bay City's very fast.
Yes.
Kilgore's at a different level.
Yes.
That's the fastest team. And LBJ's very fast. I think Kilgore and LBJ's speed will be similar, but Kilgore combines that speed with incredible physicality.
That's what I think is probably the difference. The computer has this as Kilgore by 11. I like Kilgore. there is a path for Lavernia, but it has to go through the running game. They cannot, like, again, they're that's their ball game. That's their style. And then, but I think if they can, the other thing is that can that defense, this is a Kilgore offense that doesn't, like, it's not going to hang 60 on you. You know what I mean? It's a good offense, but it's not some sort of, like, world-beating, like, game-breaking offense that's going to hit, that's going to put, you know, 55 on you. If Lavernia can hang around, they've got a shot. Mm-hmm. But it's got to start with the running game. And Kilgore's, I think Kilgore's front seven is probably the difference in this ballgame. I like Kilgore. I think we were probably always going to go with Region 3 over Region 4. Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah, usually, or, you know, all things being equal, we go Region 3 over 4.
That would be right now in 4A Division 1 the way it's set up. So I like Kilgore in a close one. We move 7 o'clock Friday night at Ford Stadium in Dallas. That's SMU, by the way. Mm-hmm. I think somebody asked you, they were like, Ford Stadium's SMU, right? It's like, yeah.
Yeah.
They're like, why did you just say SMU? It's like, well, we have a style. Like, the AP likes a certain style. Stuff like that. Anyway.
And we're a statewide outlet. We got to give all that stuff.
As the champ, it's an all-DFW clash. As the champions of Region 1, the Argyle Eagles take on the champions of Region 2 for the fourth consecutive year. The Golden Bears of South Oak Cliff. I guess this is the moment where we talk about South Oak Cliff and PNG.
Yeah.
There's no two ways about it. They just kicked their rear end 6 ways from Sunday.
Yeah.
They were just a lot better.
They were a lot better. They were highly motivated. And it was from the jump. They returned the opening kickoff to the 3-yard line, scored 7-0. PNG's second play on the offense, they got an interception. You know, a minute and a half of the game, it's 14-0. And really, it was over after that. PNG made a couple of, you know, cut it to 7 a couple of times, but they just...
It was an avalanche.
I'll tell you what, South Oak Cliff, you know, the offensive and defensive lines are elite. The running game is good. I think Carter Capecchi, his development as a quarterback and as a passer has been tremendous.
He's grown so much, and he's given them that element that, like, basically... Last year, and I think you can basically since Kevin Jennings left, then Kevin Henry Jennings, mm-hmm. when Kevin Jennings left, they have been looking for an answer at quarterback. They've been looking for that threat to throw the ball. They haven't been able to really do it. They've been so reliant on the run game. And Carter Capecchi, I'm not here to tell you that Carter Capecchi is like Keelan Russell. Mm-hmm. I'm here to tell you he is a rock solid quarterback. And with the team around him, that's enough. That's more than enough. Yeah. You just need a guy who can go out there and challenge defenses.
Yeah. He's done that. He challenges defenses with his arm and his legs. Mm-hmm. He's really athletic. He gets out in a pinch. He'll get out and run.
Yep.
He's really operating. I mean, really, also, like I said, South Cliff really just needs a bus driver. He's a lot more than a bus driver.
Absolutely.
And he's doing a great job.
But they run the ball with Mikhail Trotter. And then, well, let me put it to you this way. The headline matchup last week was the South Oak Cliff defensive front against the Port Nature's Grove's offensive line, and South Oak Cliff won that matchup pretty resoundingly.
Convincingly, yeah.
I pose to you, Matt Stapp, isn't this week a similar question? Because the Argyle offensive line is also excellent.
Yes, they're bigger than PNG's offensive line across the board. I don't know if they're as good as a unit as PNG is. Mm-hmm. PNG's offensive line as a unit works great together. I think Argyle individually may be more talented, but I don't know if they work as well as a unit. And I also think their style is different. You know, PNG's a downhill running team. Argyle's going to be in the spills. Those guys are going to be more pass pro type guys, that kind of thing. So I look at Argyle as a more more athletic, better defensive version of PNG. They're definitely more athletic and skilled. Argyle's got some dynamic skill players. And they got really
McGuire Gasperson, their quarterback's a
Julian Caldwell outside. Mm-hmm. They've got some playmakers.
And they can run the ball with Weston Bell. Mm-hmm. I mean, Todd Rogers is doing that thing again. You know what I mean? That they look like a complete team. The defense looked spectacular last week against Lovejoy. I think they got Lovejoy. I'm not here to make excuses. They body bagged Lovejoy.
Yeah, forced 5 turnovers. That was
forced
the key.
5 turnovers. Yeah. I think the weather certainly didn't help Lovejoy, but also give credit to Argyle for pouncing on those mistakes and for going at it. Mm-hmm. I think there's two things. One, there's two big questions. First question: can Argyle put together another sensational defensive effort. They'll need another sensational defensive effort. Mm-hmm. And question two, can South Oak Cliff refocus after what was, I think, a pretty emotional win? There, I think there's a head game here, too.
Sure.
Because P&G was this big looming monster. It's like, we just want another shot at them. Mm-hmm. Well, you got it, and you moved on. And now you've got a team coming to your kitchen.
That's as good, if not better.
Absolutely beat you.
Yeah, yeah. They, South Oak Cliff can't let the P&G game. They got that's not their, they can't be their Super Bowl.
No.
They got to, now, there's pedigree, there's history here. When South Oak Cliff won their first state title, they beat Alito in the third round, and then the fourth round they played a really good Lovejoy team. Mm-hmm. And I sat here and I said, I picked Lovejoy that night because I thought South Oak Cliff, I wasn't sure if they could do it again.
Yep.
And they did it and then some.
Yep.
I believe in the, I think the coaching staff will have them ready. I think they'll be ready to go. And I think Argyle will keep it closer, much closer. I think it's going to be a very competitive game. But I like South Oak Cliff.
Computers guys to pick them.
Really? Mm-hmm. I like South Oak Cliff.
I like South Oak Cliff, but don't be surprised. Like, don't be surprised if we're talking about a super tight game in the fourth quarter.
Sure.
Because Argyle can hang. They can absolutely hang. Fabulous ball game. We move 7 o'clock Friday night at McLean Stadium in Waco.
Big weekend at Baylor.
Another 5A Division II state semifinal. The other one, I should say. As the champions of Region 3, by the hair on their chinny chin chin, the Randall Lions out of Lamar Consolidated ISD take on the champions of Region 4, the Greyhounds of Bernie, who win Region 4 again. And
well, again, but this time in 5A.
This time in 5A. They make the move up.
Yeah.
And doing that thing, they zoom past Corpus Christi Miller.
Yeah, they put up like 650 yards of offense.
They win 65-50.
They hit their free throws down the stretch.
They did. They absolutely did. They got hot from three. These two teams played two very different regional finals. Because that was a 65-50, just like throw haymakers back and forth. Who's going to have the ball last? Mm-hmm. While Randall... A rematch with Iowa Colony, you were there.
It was a total rock fight.
And 14-14 at half, 14-14 end of regulation, and then Richmond Randall wins it in overtime. Okay. Forget everything. Forget everything.
All right, cancel the show.
Cancel the show. I think this is the premier strength-on-strength matchup in all of the state semifinals.
Interesting, okay.
Right here. Because you've got this Bernie flamethrower offense, okay? Hank Hendricks, Adam Hicks, playmaking dudes. All of Hudson Hendricks, playmaking dudes. Just got done hanging 650 yards on Miller. Against the only UIL 11-man team to not surrender more than 14 points in a game this year.
Yes.
In the Randall Lions. With Chase Sims, the A&M signee.
He's unbelievable.
Up front. That is the money matchup. Okay? Randall defense, Bernie offense. Oh, my God. Box off. Box office.
Randall's got a defensive lineman next to Chase Sims named LaJalen Jones. Who's like 5'10", 240, so not prototype size. All he does is messed up the offense. He is... always in the backfield causing havoc. That dude's a ball playing jack.
Disruptive. Yes. Disruptive. Can I tell? Well, I want to hear what you have to say.
Because Landon Williams Callis has not. The last couple weeks has been bottled up. I think he's going to break out this week. And I just trust the Randall defense here.
I
trust Randall's defense.
The issue I see for Bernie is the other side. Because this is a Bernie defense that has had trouble slowing down explosive playmakers. And let me tell you something. Randall's got a couple of explosive playmakers.
Oh, yeah.
Most notably, Williams Callis.
Yeah.
But they got other dudes. Their receiver corps is very strong.
Well, Keelan Sweeney's really good. They move, put him at quarterback, snap him the ball. They got a receiver, Monolongo, who's really good. Like, they've got dudes out.
They've got dudes all over the field. And that is, to me, that's the trouble point for Bernie when you take a look at this. I worry that they're not going to be able to come up. Like, forget score for score. I worry that they're gonna, not going to be able to go stop for stop. I do think that this is the week that somebody scores more than 14 points on Randall. But I'm not sure it's enough. I've got this as like 35-21, Randall. That sound about right to you?
No. I don't think Bernie's scoring 21.
Really? You like this Randall defense a lot. I mean, Iowa Colony's explosive, and they held him to 14.
35-14.
Okay.
I'll go 35-14.
Okay. We move to 5A Division 1, 7 o'clock Friday night at the Ford Center at the Star.
And the Star. Two games at the Star this weekend.
It's a 5A Division 1 state semifinal between the champions of Region 1, the Denton Ryan Raiders, and the champions of Region 2.
Picked by me.
And the champions of Region 2.
Smart guy right here.
The Highland Park Scots. Ryan did the thing. They
did it.
They actually did it. I didn't think we'd ever see it. I'll be honest. I just think that Ryan was going to go into that bucket of teams that Aledo just has their number.
Mm-hmm.
But sure enough, what it was, Ryan's been close.
Mm-hmm.
I mentioned this on TFT.
Several times.
Ryan's been close several times. And I think if you went to Dave Hennigan, he'd say, the problem is we played 40 minutes of Ryan football. We played 38 minutes of Ryan football. We played 44 minutes of Ryan football. They went out and they played 48 minutes of Ryan football, and they came away with a win.
I do think the elements helped them.
I think it helped.
Ryan was built for that kind of game.
Yes.
They are big, physical, and will punch you in the face.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, though, I got to give Ryan credit. They were down 21-10 third quarter, and I thought, oh, here we go. Alito's going to run away with it. And Ryan came back and threw a couple of haymakers. The defense started playing well. They were down 21-10, and Quinn Hennigan threw an 80-yard touchdown pass to Trevon Reynolds,
mm-hmm.
and it completely flipped the game. The Ryan sideline lit up. They were fired up. They were having fun. Alito, at the end of the game, looked like they didn't want to be out there.
Wow.
And you don't usually see that from Alito.
No.
They looked like they were done. And credit to Ryan.
They wore him down.
Yeah.
And that doesn't happen to Alito.
No, it was really impressive.
It's just absolutely remarkable. Nemo Warmate, their running back, is strong. Defense made big plays. Spectacular.
Got that big offensive line with Ty Haywood and the Garcia kid. They're studs.
So here's Highland Park. It's two teams that are programs that are intimately familiar with one another. There is a high school football fan of a little bit of a bygone era who remembers Highland Park versus Ryan very fondly.
I remember Highland Park having Ryan's number.
Correct.
Spencer Sanders couldn't beat Highland Park.
Couldn't beat, like one of the great players in Ryan history, couldn't find a way to play SHP. Highland Park, this is going to stun you guys. I saw them last week when they played Lone Star. They are just rock freaking solid across the board. There is not a superstar on this team. The closest thing they have is their sophomore quarterback, Buck Randall. First of all, great name.
Yeah.
Secondly, we are putting him on dog watch.
Okay.
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 Might be upgrade to dog warning.
Okay. All right.
This dude, he can play. He had two bad interceptions in that game in the first quarter, but then he settled in, and he took command of that offense, and they scheme it so well. And the other thing, I know I'm a broken record about Highland Park, buddy, the game is about blocking
and
tackling.
They're just sound.
And there's just no team in Texas that blocks and tackles like Highland Park.
And they're more athletic than you think. They got some twitchy guys.
Uh-huh.
They got some kids, some really athletic kids. They're a good football team. Now, one concern I have about this game, when Lone Star kind of got in their heavy stuff last week, they were able to mash Highland Park a little bit.
They ran Carice Hoyt a lot.
And you don't think Denton Ryan can get heavy and mash? I think Denton Ryan's going to test them. They're going to get in their heavy packages. We're going to put Reynolds in, Warmate in the backfield, get behind those big hog mollies in the offensive line, and they're going to run right at Highland Park and see if they can make it happen. So that's the key matchup.
I think that's the key matchup. This is also, can Ryan force Highland Park into mistakes and make them chase?
Mm-hmm.
That's it. I think both these teams need to play from ahead. Both of them. That's not to say if they get fall behind, you're dead. But I think that the game changes for both teams when they're ahead.
Mm-hmm.
And they can kind of put you in the sleeper. I'm going with Highland Park. I'm going with HP. It's hard to pick against HP.
Yeah.
I think they come away with a narrow win.
I'm going Denton Ryan.
I knew you were. I knew you were, man.
I've been on. They made me look really smart picking them over Alito. Alito Twitter and Facebook hated me for a few days, but then you know, I reminded them Saturday after the game that
did the little Hulk Hogan.
Yeah, yeah. Reminded them a little bit. Yeah. No one else weren't going to admit that I was right, so I just had to remind them that hey, I ended up being right that time. So.
It's a fascinating ball game, coin flippy type game. Yeah. The computer.
I don't make a habit of picking against Highland Park.
No,
and you won't make a you won't win a lot of pick'ems if you do that.
No, but you don't make a habit of picking against Alito and Highland Park. Yeah. And just a short. Computer's got Ryan by 4. Computer agrees with you.
All right.
Fascinating ball game. We move, staying in the 7 o'clock hour. That rounds out Friday. That closes up Friday.
We're headed to Saturday.
Putting on our football jammies.
We've got five games on Saturday.
To Saturday we go. 2 o'clock Saturday afternoon at SMU at Ford Stadium in Dallas. It is a sea of green descending upon
SMU.
There's
gonna be a lot of green there.
As the champions of Region 1, the South Lake Carroll Dragons, mm-hmm. take on the champions of Region 2. It's going to be green either way, mm-hmm. but the Longview freaking Lobos.
They, one of the most shocking results that I've seen in quite some time last week.
Yeah.
Not only, it would have shocked me if they would have beat DeSoto. Like, DeSoto was a big favorite.
Mm-hmm.
Two-time defending state champs, Longview, good, but Longview only beat Namath Forest by 10 in the first round of playoffs. They should have lost to Lancaster in the area round. I would have been shocked if Longview won by a point. Well, they decided to win by 35 more than one as they destroyed DeSoto 50-14. It was shocking.
It's a shocking result.
Yeah.
It is a surprise that Longview won. It is a shock that they won by 36.
Boosie Washington had a huge game. And DeSoto just could not stop the run.
Boosie Washington, Longview got into 21 and 12 personnel and just said, you want to go?
Yeah, and DeSoto did not want any of it. I talked to a coach who went back and basically scouted the game off of YouTube, and he goes, because he just wanted to see.
Mm-hmm.
Longview ran John King in the most John King thing ever ran power 34 times. It's the most
hell yeah.
Do you remember at State 707 when I called him and I said, "Hey coach," I said, "you're not out here?" And he goes, "No, I'm out here fishing in Louisiana somewhere." And I said, "Dang, you're not at 707 because you can't run power."
Yeah.
And he goes, "It would work." Well, it worked.
It worked
34 times.
Can I ask you a question?
He's just gonna keep. I can just see John King on the sideline going, "Well, we got 9 yards on it. Let's run it again, boys." And they ran it again.
Yeah, let's go power left.
Yeah, they just ran power 34 times.
Is Boosie Washington the most dangerous player in Texas high school ball right now?
So, I'm a Boosie Washington guy, and can I pull the curtain back a little? Yeah. We had some debates about Mr. Texas football and talking about who we thought our finalists would be. And I
Boosie was in the top 15, and we had about 2 spots left.
And I stood on the table for him.
Uh-huh.
And I feel pretty good about it at this point.
He goes 298 and 5 touchdowns. And also, give them credit. The defense played basically flawlessly.
Yeah, they're not as big as DeSoto, but they got after it and played the run tough, and they played Longview football.
They did.
Yeah.
Well, now can they play Longview football against another team in green from DFW, the South Lake Carroll Dragons? And what I love about this game, if you're like a helmet matchup guy, like you want to see two just like classic high school football teams, you got it here.
The Rockin' L and the Carroll Dragons.
And South Lake Carroll... I think South Lake Carroll being here is a surprise. It's not as much of a surprise as Longview, and it's a different kind of surprise. It's not a surprise that they're here because they're not good. It's a surprise that they're here because they're so banged up.
They've battled through a lot.
Yes.
They really have, and they've found a way to win sometimes, and they found a way to win last week.
Mm-hmm.
You know, special teams. They pounced on Geyer's special teams miscues and made them pay for each and every one. And they've had to reinvent themselves on the fly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the beginning of the year, they were a run-heavy team with Riley Wormley, Davis Penn. Well, both those guys are gone. And they've had to depend on Angelo Renda and the passing game to get things done. And they've reinvented themselves on the fly and been very, very successful. And I think they are going to be a big challenge for Longview because typically when Longview's defense has struggled, it's been against teams who can throw the ball around.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the kind of challenge that Southlake now presents them.
Yes, because Southlake, Angelo Renda, their quarterback, they have needed other playmakers to step up, and he has worn the cape for them.
Yeah,
he's been
Brock
excellent.
Boyd, the receivers committed to TCU.
Yeah.
Huge. Yeah.
I think it's a game determined by, like, mistakes. It's a game determined by, like, who turns it over, who gives the team a short field, who does that. And furthermore, this is another game where who imposes their will. Mm-hmm. If Longview goes out there, I'll just say this. I think if Longview plays clean, I think they win.
Yeah.
I think if Longview plays clean, I think they win. I think they control the clock. I think they come up with enough stops on the defensive side to win the game. If the turnover margin is even plus one Southlake Carroll, I think Carroll's a clear favorite in this game, in my opinion. Because Carroll, you're right, the matchup here is Carroll's had a little bit of trouble slowing down the run, but Longview's had a little bit of trouble slowing down the pass. Mm-hmm. There are going to be plays to be made here. And it's going to come down to who can hold on to the football, who can play few, who can have fewer mistakes. I'm going to ride the hot hand, man. I think Longview's come. I think the 903 is coming to AT&T Stadium.
We disagree on this one too. I'm going to go with Southlake. I think they'll be prepared to slow Longview down. They're going to make the sophomore quarterback at Longview, Johnny Hamilton. They're going to try to make him throw the ball, and I think Longview's defense won't be able to hold up. So,
like, we'll find out. 2 o'clock Saturday. It's a great game. 6A division or 5A division? No, 6A division two. I'm so used to saying Longview 5A. 6A division two state semifinal. We stay at 2 o'clock, but we go to Houston 7 o'clock or 2 o'clock Saturday afternoon at Legacy Stadium in Katy. It is a 6A Division One state semifinal between the champions of Region Three, the North Shore Mustangs, and the champions of Region Four, the Westlake Chaparrals. Reunited, mm-hmm. and it feels so good.
Yeah, fourth time in the past 5 years these two teams have played.
Two teams are very familiar with one another. North Shore has won three of the four?
Two out of three.
And both of them beat district rivals for a second time last week.
Very different ways, though.
One of them, start with Westlake. Westlake basically beat Lake Travis twice the same way.
Yeah, it was kind of the same kind of game.
Just kind of low scoring, yeah. Win on the margins, defense and special teams, come up with plays. Reese Wise hit through a couple big-time clutch plays, and the defense led by Elliot Shaper.
Yeah, forced three turnovers. Shaper, two interceptions, too.
I think I'm ready to declare Elliot Shaper, like, my favorite defensive player.
I think he's the best high school defensive football player in the state of Texas.
He's so good and so fun to watch. He was spectacular. North Shore played Atascocita again, and they beat him for the 10th straight time. The 10th straight time.
As good as Atascocita is, they just cannot beat North Shore.
And I think they did it very differently because the offense really blossomed. Mm-hmm. And a lot of what happened is that they let Caleb Bailey cook on the ground. They unleashed him. Mm-hmm. And Atascocita had no answer to him running the ball.
North Shore ran for 400 yards. A lot of it, Caleb Bailey, 272. He took care of the football. He had one interception
in the first quarter
early in the game. Other than that, he took care of the football. And Atascocita just couldn't get stops. Nope. And offensively, they struggled on short yardage.
They did.
North Shore stopped them on fourth down three times.
Including like fourth and one like twice.
Yeah. One of the touchdowns Atascocita had was a kickoff return by Torrey Blaylock. Mm-hmm. So they struggled on offense. North Shore completely shut them down. In my opinion, I thought North Shore beating Summer Creek was their best game of the year. They beat Summer. I mean, North Shore, if you start looking at North Shore's resume.
Uh-huh.
Two wins over Westlake. I mean, two wins over Atascocita, who beat Westlake, by the way.
One over Summer Creek.
A dominant win over Summer Creek. A dominant win over Ridge Point. Like, that's pretty.
I'll go further. A dominant win
over South Oak Cliff.
South Oak Cliff.
Yeah.
A dominant win over Kingwood. Like, start adding it up.
Yeah.
Start stacking it up.
The resume is pretty strong.
So I think the difference in this ball game is the North Shore defense.
They've been great this year.
They've been spectacular. And Westlake is if this game gets above 24 points, I am, like, if North Shore scores more than 24 points, I am not sure how Westlake wins this ball game.
Yeah.
That's where I'm at on it. Westlake has got to win a game like 20-17. Like they won in 2020. If you go back to that game, right?
I was at that game.
Yeah. They won that game in just like a on the margins, low scoring. 20-17. Yeah. A low scoring, on the margins, win in special teams and defense type way. I do not think you can go out there and expect Westlake to go out there and hang 30 plus on North Shore, because I just don't think it's going to happen. Yeah. I don't think they've got the firepower to get past what has been an elite defense.
Last year's game was that kind of game. It was really low scoring, and kind of game Westlake won.
Yeah.
Yet North Shore last year beat Westlake kind of at their own game. It was 23-14.
And do we agree that North Shore is better this year?
I think North Shore is a lot better this year.
It's kind of where I'm at. I like North Shore in this one. Yeah. I think that the depth of talent offensively gets in the win.
Yeah, you got Quanell Farrakhan, you got Deion DeBlanc, you got DeAndre Hardeman, you got Cameron Smith. Yep. North Shore's got three D1 receivers, a D1 running back, a big-time quarterback, and a much better offensive line. They're loaded.
Yeah, and I just think for Westlake, they have got to drag them into their kind of game. Anything else, and North Shore's your clear favorite in that game.
Agree.
So, there you go. We move to 2:30. 2:30 p.m. Saturday afternoon at McLean Stadium in Waco. It is a 5A Division I state semifinal. It's Houston versus San Antonio. Mm-hmm. The final San Antonio team standing?
Bernie,
that's right. Yeah. As?
And Lavernia.
And Lavernia, that's right. Yeah. As the Angleton Wildcats take on the Smithson Valley Rangers. Here's a fun fact. I've picked against Angleton every week. All four rounds. Mm-hmm. And guess what? They're in the semifinals. Isn't that a fun fact? Thanks, Community Coffee.
Mm-hmm. I think Jason Britton's got like a picture of you in their field house, and they're just throwing darts at it.
They did it again last week, yeah. Man.
Talk about a rock fight.
They can't keep getting away with it.
Yeah.
They did it again. A gutty defensive performance, a grinding running game with Jamarcus Shockley, and just some timely big boy plays from Bryce Duran, mm-hmm. their quarterback, and Wesley Jackson.
Sophomore wide receiver was big in the fourth quarter.
Yeah. And
their kicker, Ivan Rodriguez, yeah. He was 3-for-3 on field goals. He made some clutch kicks.
Pudge,
yeah.
I presume that it's the former Rangers.
They call him Pudge, yeah.
That's a good question. Spectacular. Here comes Smithson Valley, who's anxious to get back to a title game. Mm-hmm. Cade Spradling.
What a game he had.
Is that dude.
He had an unbelievable game Saturday.
And then they've got a running back whose name escapes me at the moment.
Not DeHoyos. There's two. DeHoyos is one of them. So let me tell you what Spradling did last week. He threw for 110 yards and two touchdowns. Mm-hmm. He ran for 105 yards and two touchdowns. And just for funsies, he played defense and had an 84-yard interception return for a touchdown.
As you do.
They dominated Flyer Bluff 49-14.
A really good Flyer Bluff team.
Yeah.
Brad Sowersby is the running back.
Sowersby, yeah.
Sowersby. He's a dog. And it was a defense that feasted on turnovers.
Yeah.
Feasted. Mm-hmm. They pounced on your mistakes.
Yeah. They had two Spradling and another guy, they returned two interceptions for touchdowns.
And that's kind of the thing in this one. Angles has got to play clean. They got to play clean in this ballgame.
And they typically do. Their style lends them to play that kind of clean football. They used to be wing T. They're not wing T anymore, but they still are very physical. They want to run the ball. I think the key here for Angleton, though, is handling the moment.
Yes.
Now it helps. They played at NRG last week. There was a big crowd. Angleton and LaPorte both traveled. So they got that new environment at Baylor. Smithson Valley's been there, state runner-up last year. But I think Angleton needs to accentuate their edges, which I think their big edge is team speed.
Yes.
They're going to have a big advantage over Smithson Valley at the skill positions. And can they get those guys loose in space?
I'm done picking against Angleton. The long national nightmare is over. I'm done. I'm convinced.
Okay. All right.
I'm convinced.
I'm going Angleton, too.
The speed, I think the defense, I think Angleton can do it. Yeah. I think a team that I picked to lose in the first round.
It's going
to
be an AT&T
to Weiss. Team. Remember, they played Weiss in the opener.
And they almost, I mean,
they
Weiss,
almost yeah. Yeah. I mean, they've won on the margins.
Angleton, I want to say.
They've won on the margins.
Hang on.
You're going to look up.
You want a fun fact for it? You want a fun fact?
Here's a fun fact.
Yeah. As I pull up Angleton's schedule, I heard this Saturday, and I just want to confirm. As Angleton, they have played 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. They have played 6 straight one-score games.
They've won them all.
No, they're 5-1. They lost to LaPorte. But they've won 5 in a row.
5 in a row.
13-8 over Crosby. 35-28 over Weiss, 36-29 over Port Arthur Memorial, 35-34 over College Station, 24-21 over LaPorte. And the one they lost was 35-28 to LaPorte.
There's a little,
a little bit of magic there.
A little magic. I'm buying in. I'm in on Angleton. Very late.
Late to the party.
I am buying stock at the peak.
Brazoria County, he's late, but better late than never.
But I'm here.
Yep. I'm going Angleton also.
I like Angleton, yeah. Man. I think they're the team. I think they've got a little destiny in them. There's only
two games
left. 3 o'clock Saturday afternoon at Eagle Stadium in Allen is a 6A Division I state semifinal,
a rematch from last year.
The other matchup of unbeatens across the state of Texas. It's this and Stamford and Hamilton, two very similar football games. As the champions of Region I, the North Crowley Panthers take on the champions of Region II, the Duncanville Panthers, in what can only be described as Judgment Day in 6A Division I in DFW.
Mm-hmm.
In 6A in DFW.
Yeah, you got Fort Worth's best team against Dallas's best team.
Yep, this is it. And
loaded with both teams. I mean, if you're a prospect town,
this is it.
This is, you know, North Crowley signed 9 guys to Division I scholarships last week.
Cool.
9. It's crazy.
Shocking.
Yeah.
And you can tell, I'll say this, I think North Crowley has been anxious for another shot at Duncanville.
100%.
Because last year, let's be real, they got their pants pulled down.
Yeah, they were not ready.
And Duncanville spanked their bare bottom in front of the world.
They were not ready. Duncanville big boyed them. They bossed them and said, you're not ready for this kind of football.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think North Crowley has been stewing over that for three. Kind of like, not, well, South Oak Cliff stewed over the PNG loss for 365 days. North Crowley has been stewing over that Duncanville game.
Yeah.
And North Crowley has taken steps to try to alleviate Duncanville's big advantages. And the biggest advantage Duncanville had last year with North Crowley was North Crowley could not stop the run, and North Crowley could not run the football.
Correct.
Now, part of that advantage has been mitigated because Caden Durham's the starting running back at LSU now.
Yes.
And Duncanville's not near as efficient
they're
running the football.
They're a good running team. They're not an incredible running team like they were last year.
But North Crowley, with that big offensive line, with Henry Finucu, the Missouri commit, John Turrentine Jr., the 5-star, Ian Carter, a division, they're loaded up front.
Mm-hmm.
And they've got not one, not two, but three really good running backs. Two seniors in Cornelius Warren, the UNLV commit, Daniel Bray, the Utah signee. Warren's also a signee. They got a sophomore, Keontae Ingram, who's going to be really good, who's kind of their thunder, their
not
pounder.
Carthage Keontae Ingram.
No, another Keontae Ingram.
Can I tell you?
Spelled differently.
We got those highlights on scoreboard on Saturday night. I said, there's no way that's right. Because it's like, there's not another great running back named Keontae
Ingram.
Nope,
there is.
But there is, apparently.
He's the thumper. He's the big physical back. Bray is kind of the combination where Warren is the speedster. So North Crowley, I think they know that if you're going to beat Duncanville, you've got to bring the fight to them. You've got to bully the bully.
Yeah.
You've got to go to Duncanville, and you got to – that's what DeSoto did last. When DeSoto beat Duncanville, they finally said, we've had enough. We are going to run the football. We are going to inside zone you to death, and we are going to run. And they're going to, and I think North Crowley is going to use a similar game. They are going to try to tempo Duncanville's defense with the run game and try to run the ball behind that big offensive line. And I think they are better equipped to do that this year than they were last year.
Now,
and Duncanville doesn't have Colin Simmons and Alex January,
correct,
who are at the University of Texas now. They're still really good. KJ Ford's a really good defensive lineman, but I don't think they're quite as good on the defensive front seven as they were a year
ago. And here's the other thing, is that for Duncanville, this is a team that the two-time defending state champs, they have not looked like a juggernaut the last 2 weeks.
No.
Against
Bridgeland had a running back go for, I think, almost 300 yards rushing last week.
Bridgeland was able to move the ball, but here's the thing. It's the one weird trick to win a football game is have an Alabama signee at quarterback and an Oregon signee at wide receiver.
They may have the best quarterback and best wide receiver individually in the country.
Correct.
And it's hard to stop. And then they've also got Theus and Turner and, the kid that moved in, that transferred in from Arlington, Lamar, the young kid. They got four guys.
They got dudes.
Yeah, they got a lot of. And Keelan Russell is a dealer back there. That's hard to stop.
It is.
And I think what a funny thing matchup I'm going to watch also is North Crowley, they've struggled throwing the ball the last 2 weeks. Now, last week, the rain.
The weather. And they didn't really want to.
Yeah. Kind of. But I think Duncanville is going to. DeCorian Moore has played some defense. I think Duncanville is going to put DeCorian Moore on Quentin Gibson.
Hot.
And just say, go take him out of the game. And I think DeCorey Moore is capable of doing it. Now, it's going to be a fun matchup. We're going to see. And I think that's going to be something to keep an eye on as well. How much does Duncanville use DeCorey in on deep? Because Duncanville's secondary is really good.
So here's
the Holly kid, and they've got playmakers.
When you are trying to beat a two-time defending state champ, it is the onus is on
not the anus.
The onus is on North Crowley.
It's an inside joke. If you're a
on
fan
North
of the
Crowley
ticket,
no. To answer questions,
yeah.
And here are the questions that I have: can they hit big plays?
Mm-hmm.
Can they run the ball?
Mm-hmm.
Can they match up defensively with Moore? And can they pressure Keelan Russell? They got to answer at least three of those four questions in the affirmative to do it.
I think you're better off trying to get pressure on Russell than you are trying. I mean, North Crowley's got the Fulbright kid is an Oklahoma State commit. He's a really good corner. But DeCorey Moore's a different animal.
He's a five-star receiver.
DeCorey Moore could walk into any, like right now, he could walk onto Oregon's roster and be a starter this year.
Yes.
As a senior. Yes. Like, he's that good.
Correct.
I don't know. If I was North Crowley, now I think I know what North Crowley's going to do. I think they are going to try to dare Duncanville to run the football. Mm-hmm. I think they are going to play cat and mouse. They're going to show Duncanville a light box, and they're going to give Duncanville five-man boxes, and they're going to see if the play caller is patient enough to run, mm-hmm. or if they're going to abandon it and try to throw into numbers. The problem is DeCorey Moore is that good and Keelan Russell is that good. They can throw into numbers. If I was North Crowley, I would take Fulbright. I would do the old San Francisco 49ers tactic when they had Deion Sanders. Mm-hmm. Is when they played the Cowboys, they put Deion Sanders. They didn't put him on Michael Irvin. They put him on Alvin Harper and just said, you take Alvin Harper out of the game.
Yeah.
We're going to put our number two corner on Michael Irvin and then put our safety, which was Merton Hanks, over the top and take away Michael Irvin. And it worked. If I was North Crowley, that's what I would do. But I'm not a coach. I'm just an idiot with a microphone.
True enough. I have been on the North Crowley bandwagon all year, basically since they beat DeSoto.
Mm-hmm.
And I ain't hopping off. I'm going to ride or die.
This game's live on Texan Live, by the way.
I'm either going to ride this thing to glory to Arlington, or I am going to steer it into a ditch.
Okay.
But I'm going to ride with North Crowley. I think they can do it. I think they are built. They're on that very. There's a very, very short list of teams that can go toe to toe with Duncanville and North Shore, and I think North Crowley's on that list.
Okay. I'll take some live. Yeah. I'm gonna go Champions Advantage and go Duncanville, but I think it's gonna be a great ball game. I think it's gonna be a much closer ball game, very competitive all the way through. Just can't pick against the champs.
There is one last game. There's one Saturday night game.
Makes Tepper mad.
As somebody who's got to put together a state championship preview, 7:00 Saturday night at McLean Stadium in Waco.
Doubleheader.
It is the final ticket to AT&T Stadium to be punched. The 6A Division II state semifinal between the champions of Region 3, the humble Summer Creek Bulldogs, and the champions of Region 4, the Vandegrift Vipers.
Live on Texan Live.
And both teams have, I think, let me say
this. These are the last two 6A Division II runner-ups.
I think both teams have every reason to believe that they're the team of destiny, that they're the team that should be here. For Summer Creek, they've emerged from the state's toughest district, not an opinion.
No, it's a fact.
Including beating Kingwood like a drum twice.
Yeah, boy, last week, that was... Whew.
And they've got
51-7.
They've got the dude at quarterback in Blake Thomas.
He's playing so well. I talked about it after I watched them beat Katie Jordan in the third round. He's made such big strides. He's unbelievable.
Vandegrift is winners of 12 straight after dropping game 2 to Dripping Springs.
Was it Drip
or
Cedar Park?
You're right. I keep doing that wrong. Yeah. So a coach corrected me in my DMs and I still got wrong. I'm sorry, coach. They lost to Cedar Park in week 2. And their quarterback, Miles Teodecki, has grown and grown and grown and grown, gotten better each week. And their defense is playing its best football right now in classic Vandegrift, Drew Sanders style.
Other than last year when they went Division I and they crashed out in the first round, they are a team that you can almost pencil into the fourth round.
Correct. Yeah. They've been there. The difference for me in this one is the Summer Creek front.
Yeah.
With Chad Woodfork, the TCU signee.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the difference. I think that is the thing that Summer Creek has that I'm not sure Vandegrift has an answer for. Because I don't know if this Vandegrift offensive line is as good as it was when it played for the title in 2022.
No, this was a Vandegrift team, I think it's a year early, I think, honestly. You're right. I think they've kind of overachieved, mm-hmm. which is a credit to Coach Sanders and those kids. I didn't expect them to be here, and they've overachieved. This is a Summer Creek team that's experienced, played for a state championship last year. A lot of those guys are back, and I think they're laser focused. Brandon Jones, the DB, I think he's got like five. Every time I turn around, Brandon Jones is returning an interception for a touchdown. He had two in the season opener against Shadow Creek. Mm-hmm. He had one last week. He's just a menace in the secondary. And the only thing I would say about Summer Creek is talking to them after they beat Katie Jordan. They were so focused on, you know, we DeSoto embarrassed us in the state mm-hmm. championship game. That's not us. That, you know, we've been focused on, you know, we want another shot at DeSoto. We want to get there and get another crack at DeSoto. Well, DeSoto's out. Is there a little bit of a letdown from a kind of from a distance standpoint? Yeah. Because they see that DeSoto lost and they think, okay, it's the state title's ours. We're gonna walk to a state title. Better not do that because Vandegrift's good enough to beat them. Mm-hmm. I trust Summer Creek though. I think Kenny Harrison is not going to let his team have a letdown, and I think that defense is the key. I like Summer Creek.
I do too. I like Summer Creek. I think they make it back to AT&T Stadium in 6A Division II. Other than that, though, nothing going on this week.
No, just other a very than that, quiet week.
It's a very quiet week in high school football. 20 games. Do you want to tell us which of those 20 games you're going to?
I'm going to 5 games.
You're sick.
Oh.
Yes. Yes.
Wow.
So Thursday night, I am going to be in Mineral Wells for Hamilton and Stanford.
Oh, wow.
Plan on pre-gaming. I already talked to Cody Worrell. Plan on pre-gaming at the fancy Dairy Queen.
At the Renegade Dairy Queen.
Going to give me a peanut butter chocolate shake. It's going to be great. then Friday, I'm going to spend it. I'm in Mineral Wells. So you know where Mineral Wells is.
I do.
It's out to beautiful Mineral Wells. After the game, I'm going to get in my car.
I know exactly what you're doing.
I'm going to drive to Abilene.
Yeah, you are.
Because I'm already halfway there.
Sure enough.
And I'm going to spend the night in Abilene. I'm going to work at my big boy job on Friday. And then at 4 o'clock, I will be at Abilene Christian for Wall and Gunter.
This is the only way to do 5 games.
Yes. And wow. if it's close, I'm going to stick around till the end. Uh-huh. If it gets ugly, I'm going to bail out, but I'm going to be there. And then at 7:30, the Salina Canyon West Plains game moved to 7:30, by the way.
Oh, did it?
It's 7:30 kick.
Wow.
That's fine. Gives me 30 extra minutes. I will head over to Shotwell Stadium mm-hmm. for that game. And then I will get in my car, drive to my hotel in Abilene, and get in my football bed in the hotel.
I can't believe what you're doing.
And then Saturday morning, I'm going to get up and drive from Abilene to Waco.
I can't believe you're doing this.
2:30 at Baylor. Angleton and Smithson Valley, and then I'm going to stick around in Waco for the 7 o'clock game. Summer Creek and Vandegrift. I'm going to shut it down. I'm shutting the state semifinals down at McLean Stadium. Summer Creek and Vandegrift to close out the semifinals, and then I will probably be very tired after that.
Vinny, look how proud of himself he looks.
I am.
Look at how proud of himself he is.
I love it. You're just looking at him with like.
They told you happiness. If you didn't think I was a sicko, I am a sicko.
This is as sick as it gets.
So
Mineral Wells, which one is, Abilene to Waco?
Yes,
for 5 high school football games in 60 hours.
Yes. What about the weekend a few years ago when I did Amarillo playoffs on Thursday and then I was in Roma on Friday night? It's just, you know.
Let's find out. Let's end this very brief podcast by asking V&A Moreno. Hey, V&A, what'd you write down?
I was just actually looking through my notes and highlighting them. And I have like 3 pages of notes.
Oh, okay, wow. Well, let's keep this.
You're prepped for state already.
Just a couple.
By the way, while she's figuring this out, I will tell you that next week we will have 4 podcasts for you.
We'll
have
4 Teppan Steps?
A Wednesday preview, a Thursday preview, a Friday preview, and a Saturday preview.
For all you sickos.
We will drop them all Monday night in your podcast mm-hmm. feed. And then we will
For subscribers that we love.
And for the freeloaders that we do not love as much, we will be playing them for you, the video version. I believe we're doing, is it 9?
9 or 9:30.
Yeah, we'll probably put them out early.
I think we're going to do 9:30 for every
the morning of every game. So Wednesday morning 9:30 we'll have the Wednesday
we'll have the Wednesday preview and stuff like that. So those usually about a half hour long.
It's Christmas time, so if you're looking for a great Christmas present, a subscription to TexasFootball.com is a great Christmas present for the football fan in your life.
V&A, what'd you write down?
I wrote down a lot of things. Driving through Great Blend is a brag.
It is a brag.
I've never driven through. Tank is coming to the banquet.
Tank Scott's coming to the banquet.
Tank Scott, yeah.
Hamilton Bulldogs is a Tep and Step.
The official team of Tep and Step.
That's
right.
The official team of Tep and Step.
The banner.
Yes.
We got to get that banner.
We're
going
to buy the banner. We're going to do it.
Wall is fast. Carthage is a different animal than the Dallas Cowboys have seen.
Correct.
Fair.
Tepper fell for it.
I did.
Cody Stover did the thing.
He did.
We say ding dong with all due respect.
We do. Yeah, that's an. I describe my son as Max is a ding dong.
Lastly, we're putting something Randall on dog watch. Buck Randall's on dog watch.
Yeah.
The quarterback at Highland Park might be on. Yeah. Dog warning.
There you have it, guys.
Airs. Anyway, that's going to do it for us. Thanks for enjoying this very brief podcast. We'll be back in your podcast feed next Monday with 4 state championship preview episodes, and then we will have you next week on the days of the game. So other than that, I got nothing else to say. Steph, thanks for your courage.
Thank you.
Talk to you next week for state. Tep and Step.